Greg Pogue, John Burton Show, Nashville Sports Radio. Greg out today. Hopefully he'll be back with us tomorrow. Little under the weather today, non-COVID. I stress, non-COVID. Should be back with us tomorrow. But every Thursday at this time, we talk college and pro hoops with none other than the cream of the crop when it comes to basketball. Tom Hodges. Let me tell you something, Tom Hodges. You win them in the ring, you lose them in the ring.
John Burton, one day ago, 30 years anniversary. You know what happened 30 years ago yesterday?
Hulk Hogan beat the Iron Sheik?
With a tear in my eye.
That's right. The greatest Royal Rumble of all time. Ric Flair won the Royal Rumble and won his first WWE title, then WWF.
With a tear in my eye, this is the greatest night of my life. And this is the greatest morning of my life. How you doing, John?
I'm great. How you doing today, sir? Staying warm?
I'm doing great. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, things got a little feisty the other night between Vanderbilt and Tennessee over on West End. You like to see that. You like to see rivals get after it, get a little physical on the basketball court. Neither team shot all that great, but, you know, the Vols had just enough to outlast Vanderbilt. What'd you think of that game?
Yeah, it's a really interesting game down to the last 80 seconds. You know, I mean, Scottie Pippen Jr. hits the big three to tie the game up at 60, and Vanderbilt just not able to close that out with a minute and 20 seconds left. Did get a little bit chippy. You saw almost the sparks of a rivalry game, which would be, I think, for both teams pretty healthy. But for this Vanderbilt team, not having Miles Studi there on the floor to end the game, you know, because of the technical foul that he kind of instigated there with Vescovi, really ended up being a huge storyline, because in the waning seconds, you know, the big turnover on the baseline from Jermaine Mann to Scottie Pippen. If that's Studi, you know, possibly that gets Vanderbilt the ball down two with a minute to go, their chance to tie or go ahead with a minute to go in their own gym. But very interesting game. Tennessee still continues to struggle offensively in the quarter court. Interesting lineup changes for the Vols, you know, inserting Euros Plavšić and sitting John Fulkerson down on the bench, and Plavšić responds with his best game to date on the Vols season. So it'll be interesting to see what Coach Rick Barnes does going forward, and it'll also be interesting to see what happens with Josiah Jordan James, who went out, you know, 4 minutes in with an apparent ankle lower extremity injury.
Yeah, Tom, you mentioned it. You know, Barnes electing to bring Folky off the bench. I mean, what happened to this guy? This guy was a folk hero, a Knoxville kid, you know, a fan favorite. You know, you could always count on him to hustle and dive for loose balls and stuff like that. And Barnes has been pretty, you know, vocal about, hey, this guy's not giving me enough. What do you think? What do you see when you watch Folky play?
Yeah, in my opinion, John, I see a guy that is a great number two. I think he's a great somebody to play off of. But as far as being the lead man, being the bell cow, being the quote-unquote anchor, no pun intended to our Vanderbilt fans, but
right.
A front court, the physicality, even against Vanderbilt, who might be the most them along with Georgia, the most diminutive front court in the SEC as far as just pure physicality, you know, Folky still was not able just to impose his will in the post on those guys. So it looks to me like Coach Barnes is really trying to get something going inside. Euros Plavšić has got a pretty reliable right-handed jump hook that he went to for the ultimate game winner the other night. And he's just a physical guy. Defensively, he's gotten better in ball screen coverage. I think because Plavšić has gotten better in the ball screen coverage, he looks, and kind of apples for apples, Coach Barnes would rather have a 7-foot space eater in there right now than maybe the 6'10", 6'11", Fulkerson, who's maybe a little more athletic, but is not quite giving them that physical presence that they need.
Well, Tom, and we're talking with Tom Hodges, talking college and pro hoops here. You know, one guy I like on the Vols is Ziegler. I know he had a horrible shooting night the other night, didn't hit a field goal, but he was 11 for 12 from the line. I like how he runs the half court.
Absolutely. In my opinion, I think the Vols are at their best when the guy Ziegler is at the point and Kennedy Chandler is at the two. They seem to really take off with that lineup. You know, Ziegler's playing a bunch of minutes right now. He played almost 27 minutes the other night. And while he might not have scored from the field, defensively, he is exactly what you want from a undersized Division I point guard. He gets up underneath you. And just in that turnover we were talking about a short while ago, you know, he gets up under you, and all of a sudden, he's able to knock the ball free on the inbounds and ultimately – secure the game in hand for Tennessee. He's a pest. I wouldn't want to play against him because he's a high-energy guy. Just really, really a great addition as a true freshman to the backcourt for the Vols. I completely am on board with you on that. I think his ascension has really been one of the reasons Tennessee's been able to stay afloat even amidst some of the offensive struggles that they've had.
Well, they're just such a different team, right? We think back to a couple of years ago when they had Grant Williams down in the post and Schofield and Jordan Bone running the point. You know, everything ran through Williams. Now they're trying to be, it seems like, more of a perimeter shooting team, and it seems like it's a bit of an adjustment, no?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's almost you can almost see the conflict in Coach Barnes on the sidelines. He wants to be an interior dominating team. He wants to be able to lay it against the glass. You know, he's made statements about the games are won on the block and at the free throw line. But then he looks up and down his roster, and Grant Williams, to quote Rick Pitino, isn't walking through that door. So he's got what he's got, and he's got some nice pieces. But the offensive flow, and I was talking with Greg off air right after the game, the offensive flow of this Tennessee team almost seems disjointed. Like they have a lot of activity, but they don't get a lot of achievement for their activity. And that's one thing for Tennessee. If they look to make a move here going forward, they're going to have to start getting more out of their quarter-court offense and not just so reliant on transition and hoping the three ball goes in, which, again, they're 5 for 23 the other night. Now, they did get to the free throw line more than they had been, so that's a positive. But if you're going to shoot the number of threes that they shoot, you've got to be able to have a counterpunch when they're not going in.
And with as bad as, you know, Vandy shot in that game, particularly Scottie Pippen Jr., just 3 for 10 from the field. I mean, we talk about it ad nauseum, that second guy hasn't quite stepped up on a consistent basis for Vandy. And if Pippen has an off night shooting, they're going to have a tough time winning games.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I was thinking about this Vanderbilt roster, and what without Rodney Chapman, that's a big hole. And then for Coach Stackhouse, there's just not a ton of options that he has. I really think he's getting all that he can out of Malora Brown. He's playing really well, but it's kind of like Fulkerson. You know, he's just limited in what he can physically do. You know, the local product Drew Weicker got his first start the other night. So you can kind of see they're searching for some answers. And to your point, they're searching to get that second guy that can be consistently in the box score. Because, you know, Scottie Pippen Jr., he's leading the SEC in scoring right now by a long shot. And everybody knows it. So the scout on Vanderbilt is real easy. We're gonna lock down on Pippen. He's still gonna get his. But if we can keep these other cats out of high double figures, we're going to be in good shape. And in the games that Vanderbilt struggled, that's kind of what's played out.
Coach Tom Hodges is our guest. That's his Twitter handle, as a matter of fact, right? Coach Tom Hodges? I follow you on
That's
Twitter.
It.
You're a great follow on Twitter.
I follow you, Coach.
OVC, wow, Murray State did a number on Belmont over the weekend, 82-60. You rarely see a Belmont team, A, lose at home at the curb, but B, get punked like they did. Listen, Murray's a good team. No shame in losing to them, but what'd you make of that game, and how legit is Murray State this year?
Well, if I told you Saturday before the game, one team was going to shoot 14 for 25 from the three, and another was going to shoot 5 for 23, I would dare say the majority of people listening would think, well, Belmont had a great shooting night. And just the opposite. Murray State came in and not only beat the Bruins, they torched them, going 14 for 25 from the three. They go 26 for 51 overall, so they come into the curve and shoot over 50%, and then shoot 56% from the 3-point line.
And Tom, not to interrupt you, but I'm looking at it right now. They were only 16 for 29 from the free throw line. This could have been a lot worse.
Wow, that's amazing. Justice Hill shoots. He goes 8 for 11 for himself. So by himself. I think he hit 6 in the first half. By himself, he outscores Belmont from the three, which is unheard of. This Murray State team, I was checking this morning, ESPN has them ranked, I believe, 7th or 8th in the mid-major top 10. They just exploded onto the scene as far as a NCAA tournament team, bracket buster, really, really strong performance. You know, going into this game, John, Belmont was 75-4 in OVC home games. 75-4. That's unbelievable through the Rick Byrd and Casey Alexander eras. So for them to drop this one and drop it in a way that, you know, really was never close, really impressive performance by Murray. And it's going to set up some interesting games. Really, first and foremost of which for Belmont is tonight in Morehead State against the reigning OVC champions.
Yeah, you mentioned Justice Hill, 36 points. As you mentioned, 8 for 11 from 3, 10 for 19 from the field. Murray State's an amazing program. Their ability to, you know, for a mid-major program to churn out these great players year after year, John Morant just a couple of years ago, who might win the NBA MVP award, which I would really like because I got a little scratch on that. What do we need to know about this Justice Hill guy? Because that was my first look at him on Saturday. This kid's a baller.
Yeah, really, the only other time I'd gotten to see Murray, I watched them against Middle Tennessee, who they played at Murray. This team is electric. They can get up and down. They've got bigs inside that really can challenge at the rim and score it around the rim. Just a solid up and down team. You know, Matt McMahon's been there for a while now, but they are the real deal. Tevin Brown is another guard that can score it at all three levels. He shoots. Gosh, last time I checked, I think he shoots it over 40% from the three. They've got another couple guys that are over 40% three-point shooters. Really nice team. There's going to be some good basketball. It's just, you know, in the last iteration of the OVC with Murray State, there's going to be some really good basketball games with them down the stretch, and Belmont as well.
Quick NBA question for you, Coach. Joel Embiid had a monster game last night. What are the 76ers going to do with our guy from Australia, whose name escapes me? What are they going to do with him? He's kind of floating out there in the wind. Are they going to trade him? Or are they just going to let him, you know, hang him out to dry? What do you think happens there?
Yeah, it's interesting. Ben Simmons.
Yeah, Ben Simmons.
It's kind of the million-dollar question of what does happen. But Joel Embiid, to go to your first point, is on a historic tear right now for these 76ers. He scored 50 last night, John, in 24 minutes.
Mm.
Truly, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How much this guy is scoring it. If you check his percentages, he's shooting 55% from the field. I believe he's shooting 84% from the free throw line, which is a career high, and he's shooting 38% from the three. Now, NBA guys will tell you, if you get a 50-40-80 guy, that is MVP caliber all day, every day. And for him to be doing it at 7 foot, it's pretty impressive. As far as Ben Simmons goes, there's a lot of speculation out there. There's a lot of teams, looking to jockey and make it on to the trade deadline. I don't have a really good feel of what's going to go on. You know, out west, you've got all sorts of turmoil with the Lakers and them benching Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on there. So I have the sense there's going to be some big moves here within the next few days as we bump up against the trade deadline.
All right, Tom, Titans-Bengals, who you got on Saturday?
Titans by a million. Tighten up, baby.
Well, let me tell you something, Tom Hodges. You are the man of the hour. Tower of power, too sweet to be sour. Diamonds are forever. So is Coach Tom Hodges.
Good God. We're here from the diamond mine.
Coach, always a pleasure, man. Have a wonderful day, all right?
All right, buddy. Thank you.
There he goes. Coach Tom Hodges, his weekly college and pro basketball segment. Heck, we could talk high school with him if we want to, right? That guy is plugged in. All right.